Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday. It is the 26th of April, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad you're with us. It's always nice to have you here to chat with us because I like getting to talk to you about all kinds of different stuff. And today we have all kinds of different stuff to talk about. So
yeah, there's a few different bits and bobs we've got.
Yeah. We've got like all kinds of things happening all of a sudden, it seems like today. First up, we have a thing that we have sort of threatened before, which is 14.5 coming out. And the reason we're talking about it today in slightly different terms is because on the front page of the New York Times website, it says, with 14.5 being released today.
So, yes, I noticed that. And when I read it this morning, I was like, oh.
Me too.
Cool. Finally.
Yeah. We've joked about how many betas it's been now.
Yeah. So. I mean, we were promised this week. I kind of assumed we were talking when they said this week, it would be Wednesday, Thursday, not Monday morning. But
or
hey,
even
who are we
Tuesday.
To complain?
Normally, OS updates are a Tuesday sort of thing, it seems like. So that's also sort of why this was atypical. Not complaining.
There was one thing I did notice. I was fiddling around with the phone I have on the developer program over the weekend, and I did notice that 14.6, the first developer beta of that, was now available.
Yeah, I saw that that came out late last week.
So it kind of made me wonder. Mm-hmm. It kind of all adds up that, you know, probably by the time you're listening to this show, you might be able to listen to it in iOS 14.5.
Yeah, that's hopefully. Hopefully they're starting to test 14.6 because 14.5 is ready to go. Here's hoping. So hopefully we'll see that today. This is a thing that you've heard us talk about a lot on Daily Observations, partly because it's got some new features like Mask Unlock and if you have an Apple Watch and some other useful things. And then additionally, because this is where the long-awaited app tracking transparency and privacy things have all been happening. So for people who are end users of iOS, this is a glorious, momentous day for people like Facebook. It is slightly less great, I guess we'll call it. So definitely a thing you should update to.
Yeah, I'm looking. It'll be interesting to see this kind of out in the wild and see the clash of the titans that we're expecting or not. We had last week's Media Plus had a really great conversation actually looking at what the implications of ad tracking transparency, which is what you're referring to in the Facebook row, might be. So it'll be interesting to see in the wild.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that we want to talk about today, we have a quick tip for you, which is something you've put together, Charlotte, about search.
So, you know how sometimes you find out your computer or like a piece of software can do things that you didn't realize or do things in a way that was really easy and you didn't realize?
Yeah.
So I did this by accident, right? I was as you would expect, my Safari on my Mac, which is, you know, the latest version of Big Sur and latest version of Safari 14 or whatever it is I noted I was typing an address or search thing into the address bar as one does hundreds of times a day. And I noticed that there was a little magnifying glass. And if you tap on that little magnifying glass at the top, it gives you a whole list of all different search engines. Google, Yahoo, DuckDuckGo, Ecosia, which Andrew Orr wrote about last week, which is a cool project they're doing and is something worth checking out, and Bing. So basically most of the search engines you may wish to use for whatever reason, whether it's privacy related with Ecosia, there's a green element, I believe, you know, all different stuff. I'll get back to you the reason why you might want to use Yahoo, whatever. Like, there's different options. Mm-hmm. And it was remarkably easy to flick between them and change them and use whatever you wanted. Mm-hmm. And it just I was kind of struck by how easy this thing lurking kind of in plain sight is. Basically, what you have to do is you have to clear the search bar so there's nothing written in it. Mm-hmm. And then it says, you know, slightly grayed out, search or enter website name. And next to that in the search bar, as I say, is the magnifying glass. And that's where you get this whole list. And you can, you know, tap on one and do a search in DuckDuckGo. Then if you want to find something through Google, you can flick back to that. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a really easy, quite efficient way to move between things.
Indeed. The other thing I will point out is that, Charlotte, you have a video about this that is in the process of going live.
Yeah, check it out. We'll be on Mac Observer's YouTube channel, be on our website. I was kind of struck by how simple this useful thing was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it was. I was struck by how useful this thing was and how Apple...
Across it on accident instead of...
Yeah, and I'm slightly surprised, given that Apple... I know it's related, the particularly antitrust stuff is related to the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
But Apple, and in not a dissimilar way, Google, are criticized for their perceived dominance in various markets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm slightly surprised that actually they didn't make more of a play that you can do these kind of things and use different products. And also it's part of Apple's privacy thing as well. You know, there's lots of good privacy reasons that you and Andrew have covered in Security Friday. I think even we've talked about a few of them, why people would prefer to use Safari.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you might also choose to use a search engine like DuckDuckGo, which offers more privacy options. So I'm kind of surprised Apple hasn't made more of a play about it, given how much of its story, just even something little like that, plays into.
Exactly. That's the thing that I wonder about as well, like that there are these other options and that people can use them. It's definitely something we've talked about using other search engines on Security Friday. And specifically talked about DuckDuckGo because they are privacy minded in what they're doing. So they like to make sure that everything is set up so that they don't ever really get to, you know, find anything out. So it's kind of nice. Like I said, Charlotte will have a video. Charlotte has a video about that. That's going to be up on the site. We have that as a practical tip. iTunes confused why that is. I will also point out that you can change your default search engine in Safari on iOS as well. I think you have to do that in preferences.
Yes, you can do that in preferences. You're exactly right. You can do that in preferences, and I think we've discussed that before.
Yeah.
But it is worth saying that this is, I was talking specifically about Safari 14 on the Mac, which I suspect is where a lot of people do a lot of their kind of day-to-day, you know, in their work searching.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's even easier. It's pretty easy on the iPhone, actually, to change that. But it's even easier without... I didn't even realize it. It's even easier on the Mac.
Yeah. And it's a good thing to know. So thank you for stumbling across that and making a video for everyone to use. Before we continue, and we do have more to talk about today, I would like to tell you about our sponsor today. And our sponsor today is Upstart. So if you are really not looking forward to your credit card statement every month, no judgment here. Upstart will help you lift that weight off of your shoulders. Upstart is a fast, easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan. It's all done online. You don't have to go in anywhere. Whether you're paying off credit cards or consolidating high interest debt, Upstart has been used by over 500,000 people to get a simple fixed monthly payment. They look at more than just your credit score so they can offer smarter rates with their trusted partners. It's a 5-minute online rate check. You can see the rate up front for a loan between $1,000 and $50,000, and you can even receive those funds as soon as one business day after accepting. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today by going to Upstart.com. upstart.com/TDO, upstart.com/TDO. Don't forget to use my URL when you go there to let them know that I sent you. Loan amounts are determined based on credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/TDO. We'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, we also have last night's Oscar awards to talk about. Some good news and some bad news, so to speak.
Well,
I mean,
look, it depends who you are. If you're Steve Jobs and you're looking down on high, you've won either way.
Exactly.
Because Pixar... So the categories that Apple content was nominated in was the best animated feature for Wolfwalkers. As we discussed at the time, it was up against Soul, so, you know.
Yeah.
That was never happening. Wolfwalkers is actually a very, very interestingly, beautifully animated piece of work, but it wasn't ever beating Soul, nothing was.
And that's really the problem, is that, like, this year, like, when Apple had something that would have stood a chance, it was up against Soul. Like, if it had been up against Onward, I think Apple could have taken it.
It's always hard against, you know, Pixar juggernaut, as it were. But I suspect Apple is pleased to be competing with something worthy. But Soul was just so good. There was really nothing that was going to stand in its way this time, which is fine. And Wolfwalkers is worth noting, as I mentioned in my story, missed out. I picked up 5 Annie Awards, so it's not like it hasn't been recognized within the industry.
Sure.
It's just kind of don't mess with the best, I think, probably on this occasion. Greyhound was up for the best sound award. It missed out on that to the appropriately named Sound of Metal. But again, it has been recognized in that category in other industry awards, as Servant was. So I think we're going to be talking. Brian Chaffin, the Media Plus official awards correspondent, has dusted off his tux once more. And he's going to be joining me on Media Plus that will come out tomorrow, Tuesday. And we're going to break it down, both the Oscars and the kind of Apple's approach to Apple's awards season as a whole, which I think generally you have to say they've done pretty well. They won their first Golden Globe, yada, yada, yada. No one's laughing at Apple being at award ceremonies anymore.
Yeah, there's no eye roll like there was kind of last year with the morning show, I think.
Right, exactly. So I think that's progress.
Yeah.
Basically, everyone else competes in the animated category, then Pixar wins. What do you say?
It's who's up for, like, you know, second place, more or less, because, like, there's Pixar and then there's everybody else. So I was disappointed that Wolfwalkers
particularly good.
Yeah.
This was a particularly good.
Like I said, if Onward had been the movie, it's possible Apple would have stood a really, really good chance as opposed to this year. I have a bunch of feelings about Onward, but we can talk about that on a different podcast. So we have one last tidbit of news to talk about briefly. We may hear more about this as more information becomes available. But Apple dropped a press release this morning. You can read more about it over at MacObserver.com about a huge investment in the United States, in Apple's presence in the United States. Yeah.
Yes, another one. So today's wadge of cash... it says it's going to make new contributions of more than $430 billion,
with a B, yes,
dollars. That's many dollars, and add 20,000 new jobs across the country over the next 5 years. That's the plan. So just to put it in context what we're talking about, and then over the past 3 years they've beaten the original 5-year goal of $350 billion that was set in 2018. You know, it's just a lot of this is about 5G innovation driving that forward. So the sort of TLDR version of this story, and it is worth digging into more, is that Apple has raised its level of commitment to investment in the United States by 20% overnight, basically.
And the other interesting piece of this to me is the all of the fronts that they're doing this on. Right. First of all, one of the things the press release calls out right near the top is that right now, Apple directly employs more than 2.7 million people between suppliers and manufacturers. And they are including developer jobs in that. So, you know, however big the grain of salt is you want to take with that, like, feel free. They also point out something I thought was interesting for a press release is Apple is the largest taxpayer in the U.S. and has paid almost $45 billion in domestic corporate income tax over the past 5 years alone. Now,
I'm laughing, but I shouldn't. Because it is serious. You can always take a cynical approach to a company pushing this kind of stuff. But take the numbers at face value.
Right.
You know,
but Apple has also said, like, we're paying according to the law. So if you don't like the amount we are paying, make a different law and we'll follow that, which I think is a very interesting stance on this. But anyway, the other piece of this is that they point out these contributions include American suppliers, data center investments, capital expenditures in the U.S., and other domestic spending, including dozens of Apple TV productions across 20 states. So that sounds like, we knew Apple was making a lot of stuff, but to have something happening in 20 states, and then you kind of are obligated to include at least one filming location in Canada, because like everybody films something in Canada, it feels like. So they're either in Toronto or they're in Vancouver, BC. So there's that too. Now I'm just curious what they're filming here, if anything. So I'm sort of nosy. Now the part I can talk about a tiny, tiny bit, there were a couple of interesting things in here. A lot of it was just expansion of things that Apple's already doing is part of what they wanted to announce, was like the stuff that we already do, we're just going to continue to do more of that. But they're also investing over $1 billion in North Carolina and creating at least 3,000 new jobs in machine learning, artificial intelligence, software engineering, and other cutting edge fields. I think that some of the AR stuff that Apple's so excited about, and specifically Tim Cook is so excited about, might be happening in North Carolina. They're also establishing a fund to support schools and community initiatives across the state, and a whole bunch of infrastructure spending for things like broadband and public school investment. So I think that's going to be really interesting if they manage to do that. Now, specifically, what I can talk about in my part of the world is that Apple has opened an office in Seattle, kind of a big building in the South Lake Union neighborhood. And they have a thousand employees in Seattle. They're planning to add another 1,000 there. There are mentions of surpassing hiring commitments in Miami, New York, Pittsburgh, and Portland, Oregon. I don't know if anybody knew Apple had a bunch of people here, but they do. And another thing that they talk about here is some of the manufacturing investment that they're making, and also some of the clean energy investment that they're making, or renewable energy. One of those things is a hydroelectric plant they own here in Oregon that is something they purchased specifically to help power their data center. So that's part of what makes that interesting from here anyway, is that as you continue, like, you know, get a cup of coffee, get a snack, and sit down with this press release and look at some of the stuff that they're talking about, because for a press release, I don't know about you, Charlotte, but for a press release, this felt very information heavy and not razzle dazzle heavy. And a lot of press releases are meant to be like, look how amazing and wonderful this is. Look at how great and wonderful this tiny nugget of information is. And this one is just a wall of data.
It's huge amounts of data across huge amounts of the US. I'm sort of in some way surprised, and both not surprised, that Apple chose to do this separately, not at its event last week.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it wanted to keep the attention on the physical products, and this is a different kind of audience this is aimed at, this information.
Mm-hmm.
But look, let's cut to the chase. We know there is a lot of politics around the big tech at the moment, and a lot of politicians are poking around big tech at the moment, mm-hmm. and making these kind of plays. Well, I think does matter to Apple in and of itself. Like, and this is not a brand new stuff. We've had stuff in Texas before. This is not a new about turn that, you know, Apple is suddenly putting lots of money into the US. Like, right. It's not. But at a time where the tech industry is facing a lot of political pressure, this stuff, obviously, it always goes down well with politicians, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, look at how many times the word infrastructure is in this press release, for example. but also, there were a lot of things that were in here that I thought were sort of interesting that I didn't realize. Like the Corning, how closely they work with Corning, for example, because there's something about them teaming up with Corning in Kentucky for state-of-the-art glass, that sort of stuff. Finally, maybe making a phone that won't crack if you drop it on the ground. Advanced manufacturing in Indiana. There's just a lot of stuff that's in here that even, like, I follow them a lot closer than a lot of people do, and seeing kind of some of the stuff that's in here was sort of surprising. I thought the picture near the bottom of the wall of solar panels was a very interesting picture, because it's just solar panels all the way to the horizon.
Apple does like a solar solar panel picture.
They do. It was also notable because Lisa Jackson is not standing on top of any of them. I feel like I had to point that out. But it's a very interesting wall of data you should definitely check out. And that's going to do it for us today. So I'm glad we were able to keep you up to date. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.